It's time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Yep, this is me, Damian Lemon. You already know. I mean, who else would it be, right? This is In the Conversation, the podcast. Yeah, we're here. Ali is away. It's just you and I, you know? But I appreciate y'all tuning in. Appreciate you giving me your ear. How y'all doing? Really? Uh-huh. Okay. Well, wow. Okay. That's what's up. I'm glad you holding to that. You know, that's what's up. Yeah. How many of y'all holding to those resolutions? Or those are just something that just happened in the past. Is resolution time, has it dissipated, or are we holding strong? Are we holding strong? I don't know. I'm trying, I guess. I ain't really got no resolution. I got a couple goals. I've been trying to stick to it. It's too early to tap out at this point, right? You still got some momentum. You know what I mean? 40 degrees here in New York City today. 39, actually. I'm trying to make it hotter than it is. It wasn't just me, too. I seen a Mr. Softy truck outside. 39 degrees. Saw Mr. Softy outside. I don't know what he was trying to do or what she was trying to do. It was actually a woman. I don't know what she was trying to do. I don't know if she's trying to will the temperature to go up, but, you know. I guess Mr. Softy's kind of like the groundhog of New York City. You see enough of them. Maybe we get to spring faster. But, yeah, this weather's been kind of crazy. 39 today, 65 the other day, 70. Then it gets cold again. Do not put your big coat at the back of the closet just yet. Keep that on deck. Keep them Scullies lint-free because you might need them. You know, we ain't all the way out the woods yet, for sure not. Oh, man, what's going on with me? I'm sitting here sipping some good bottled water out of a mason jar. I don't know the first time I started doing that. I saw it, you know, like everyone. You see it at one of these little restaurants. It looks real folksy. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do that. I think I got a mason jar. Or I might have an old mayonnaise jar, which is even iller. That, I don't do that. This says Quaker on. I don't even know what this was. But it ain't mason. It ain't ball. I got some ball. Anyway, long story short, that's what I'm doing. I'm sitting here sipping. Talking to my people. Salute and thank you to those people who have expressed earnest concern or sincere concern over my open tabs. I appreciate you for sure. I will give you an update. They have decreased a bit, I believe. I don't have an account at the moment because my laptop is closed. I'm not going to do all of that. But it's less than 143. It's less than 143. It might still be, to many of you, cause for concern. But either way, it's my life. I'm bugging. I'm bugging. That's just me here talking to you, but really myself, hoping you are listening. I went to go see Yaya Bey perform at the BAM, the Brooklyn Academy of Music, last week. It was a free show. I don't know what the cause was or who the organization was bringing it on, but it came at the right time. I guess it was one of them times when my algorithm was doing more than just listening. You know, like listening and being helpful, because I've been saying, yo, I want to see Yaya Bey live. You know, I listen to her music, you know what I mean? I fuck with, you know, her pen. I've spoken about her on the pod before. And I was like, yeah, I'm curious to see what the live show is. And sure enough, I'm scrolling through Instagram and it was an ad for a free show at the BAM. So I went and it was good. It was a good show. I didn't know what her voice was going to sound like live, because I don't know if she sings. She sings on the albums, but I don't know if she, like, really showcases her vocal ability, like, as much on the albums as she did on stage. So that was dope. And then also, she got a bit of a, you know, little bit of some commentary. She stopped the show towards the end of it to do a little bit of commentary. And I guess, according to her, if you've been to the show, you already knew this was coming. Lightweight rant, you know, about what's going on in the city, specifically in the country broadly, in the world, even more broadly. And funny enough, that's kind of how I discovered her. I said that before. I was just scrolling on the gram, and I came across one of her videos where she was just talking about, just because I'm a black woman R&B singer from New York, you might think that I'm going to be singing about trauma and all this other stuff and the exploitation of trauma to feed capitalism. And I was like, yo, who this? Who's talking this? I didn't even know. I mean, obviously she said she was an R&B singer, but I hadn't even heard a note, but I was pulled in. I was like, I like this. But so yeah, overall though, it was a good time, good joints, it made me, you know, appreciate certain songs even more after I heard them live. You know, after you hear certain songs live and you see how they perform, how the crowd likes them, or even songs I'm like, yo, you know, especially now with streaming, for me, I don't even know the names of songs like I used to. I just put the album on. I just let it stream, and when it streams, if it catches my eye, what I do sometimes if I'm like cleaning up or walking around, or you know, not when I'm in the car, but like if I'm in the apartment and I got it playing and a song hits, I'll probably like screenshot it so I remember the name of the song. Oh, this is that song. This is that record. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, there were certain records that I was like, oh, this record is hitting. I know this record, but I don't know the name of this record. You know, it wasn't like every record was introduced. This next record we're gonna do is such and such and such and such. They was just rocking, and yeah, it was cool. And she had a 3-piece band type of thing. I want to say a cat on the keys, dude on the drums, maybe one other cat, but I don't know if it was a background singer or they had an instrument. I can't remember, but yeah, no, it was a quick little, you know, wasn't too elaborate. It was a nice little joint, probably rocked for about an hour. So yeah, I enjoyed that. That was a good time. That was a good time. It was cool. Besides that, like I said, shows throughout the weekend. Obviously, I watched the Oscars. I watched a good amount of the Oscars. Honestly, I didn't realize. Shout out to my cousin, say cool, because he hit me like, yo, you watching the Oscars? He said, you going to watch the Oscars tonight? I said, yeah, I'm washing dishes or whatever, getting ready, because I cooked. You know what I mean? I had Sunday off, so I was like, yo, I'm going to roast a chicken. You know what I'm saying? I had chicken, roasted chicken, some potatoes, and make a big salad or whatever. Make a meal out the whole situation. I was working hard this past week, and I had the time off. I was like, yeah, nah, I'm about to lean in. So I'm in the spot cooking up, you know, like cleaning and cooking or whatever. And he's like, yeah, I already started. I'm like, huh? It's probably like 6 o'clock. I'm like, what the fuck? What you watching at this early in the evening? That man was watching the Oscars. The Oscars started at 7 o'clock. I'm thinking the Oscars was going to kick off at 8 o'clock. So then he texts me right when Amy Madigan from Weapons won Best Supporting Actress. I was like, ah, now I'm watching it mad. You know what I mean? Not to say Amy Madigan wasn't good at Weapons. I mean, Weapons was okay, if you ask me. But she was convincingly creepy. But I don't know. I was kind of hoping for either Wumi or Tiana win, but it is what it is. You know, I was, like I said, Casino or Blackness, so I kind of was watching with my fingers crossed, but still with the, like, a bit of a, not a side eye, but, like, just ready to not be so disappointed. But overall, again, I came into it kind of late, so I missed the Conan monologue. I was tempted to go watch the replay, and I probably will, but I ain't do it before this, because I was actually looking forward to Conan. I think Conan's mad funny, and I was just curious to see what he was going to do. But yeah, so from then on, I was locked in. Was excited when Autumn won for cinematography for Sinners. Wasn't surprised that Sean Penn won for One Battle After Another. Even though I was really kind of, I would have been happy to see either Benicio or Delroy take that. But, you know, Sean Penn, you know, he did his thing. And it's interesting. Sean Penn just like, yo, I'm not showing up. I'm not doing the awards. Give me the awards, I won't be there. I'm not even going to be there via satellite. I ain't going to lie to you. I'm not mad at the stance, if you feel it like that. The big wins to, in my mind, obviously One Battle After Another got busy. They took a bunch, but I was kind of sick that, Ryan Coogler didn't get director, but then he got, best screenplay, original screenplay. He got that. So that's a big look. He's the only black guy besides, Jordan. What's Jordan's name? What's Jordan? Well, I can't think of Jordan. Get Out. You know what I'm talking about. Get Out. You know what I'm talking about. Jordan. You know what I mean? Not Michael Jordan, but other Jordan. You know, Get Out Jordan. They got that together. And then, the big win. Michael B. Jordan. Ha-ha! Yes! Yeah, man. I was excited. I didn't know if it was going to go Timothy. You know what I'm saying? Because that's been the take for a while. Timothy's got this in the bag, blah, blah, blah. But then it was a bit of a turn, definitely after the actor awards when Mike won. But even prior to that, when you just start to look at the fact that, you know, that I for me, what made me not see to the narrative of the media and, you know, the history of the Academy was old Viola Davis when she was on that panel with Michael B. And she was like, you know, you played three characters. He said, you know, no, baby, you played three characters. And I was like, that man did play three characters. Yeah, get that man that statue. And sure enough, he won that statue. You know, and as I said, him, Delroy, Ryan, you know, Jamie, the whole squad, Woomy, the whole everybody, Zinzi, I know Eric, Mike and Pam really won the night. Everybody was like, yo, Mike and Pam, shout out to Mike and Pam, whoever they are. I know they big wigs over at Warner Brothers, but Mike and Pam, they are on top of the world. Anyway, they had so much grace and dignity throughout the whole thing that, as I said before, even if they hadn't won, I mean, they didn't win everything, you know, even if they came up with a goose egg or came up with the dun-dun-dun, you know what I mean? It would have been absolutely disappointing, but it was just like, as Whitney said, you can't take away my dignity, you know? So when Mike came up on stage and, you know, there's people, we done known him since Wallace, you know, but just, you know, he just, the level of poise and the level of humility and the level of gratitude was palpable. You know what I'm saying? Like, it felt like, yeah, it went to the right cat. You know, it obviously, these are just all awards and whatever. It's like, it's subjective and it's, you know, these are things that are just, oh man, what's my man's name? Because the whole thing was, honestly, the Oscars or award season, but particularly the Oscars, really designed just to kind of quiet actors that wanted a little bit more stake in the money, you know? And I forget my man's name. I don't know if it was Samuel Golden or somebody was like, all you gotta do is just give them some awards. And they'll fight amongst each other, and they'll be so distracted by that, they won't even think about a piece of the pie. So at the end of the day, it's all a okey-doke, but it's still good to see. It's still good to see. Bam Adebayo scored 83 points. People act like, they don't get no respect. It's real Rodney Dangerfield out here in the world in the reception of his 83, you know. He did. It was a lot of foul, free throws and all of that. A lot of fouling by the Heat. So a lot of people is like, man, it's not what it is. I mean, he hit 83. So when the time goes by, it's gonna be 83. You know, he's number two now after Wilt and right before Kobe. So, but people don't. People been shitting on him. This week, I felt good because I walked away from the grips of nostalgia. Maybe twice, but really once. And the nostalgia had my feet in a literal chokehold. It had my feet, like, you know, consumed. So, you know, the Nike, the Air Max 95 OGs came out a couple weeks ago, right? And I didn't hit. I tried to get them online. I didn't even go for the sneakers app. I tried to get them online, didn't come up. So I was kind of like, eh. But then I hit my man, one of my connects, see if he had any of his shop. And I guess they did a raffle type of thing, so there wasn't nothing going on. But he said, yo, I won on the app. Same size. If you want them, let me know. I said, I bet. Yeah, let me know when they come in. I'll come through and pick them up. They come in. I go to the spot. Crack the, you know, and it's brand new. He ain't even open the box. Crack the box. Wow. Brand new. Brand spanking new. Air Max 95 OGs. I haven't had a pair of those since they retro, probably in 09 or something like that. I tore through them joints, right? And these are the only 95s I really mess with, because I think as dope as 95 is as a silhouette and as a design, it's very easy to mess up. Like, it's just so much going on that just any, like, a colorway could totally destroy it. I mean, I got the Armand Monnier joints. I've come across a couple of them, but honestly, this is the apex, in my mind, of Air Max 95. So here they are, and it's the big bubble. This is just the return to the OG bubble size and all of that. And I put them on, and they look nice, but they kind of felt a little tight. They felt a little tight, and it was one of those, you know, the moment where you got to ask yourself, like, and it was interesting because my homie, he work at a shoe store, so he put his shoe store hat on. Which was crazy because he didn't care. He was like, look, man, if you don't want them, I'll send them right back. I'm cool. And he put his shoe store hat on. He was like, listen, if they feel a little tight, do not get them. You know, you want them to feel how you want them to feel out the box. If they feel a little something, they could break in, but they might not. You know, and are you willing to deal with that? And it was just like, I had to take a few pictures just in case I wasn't going to get them, looking at them. And I'm like, do I get these? Because, I mean, they all look tight. I'm doing too much. And as I've got older, man, I know, like, I'm not one of these people that's taking the insole out, first of all, because I need that insole. You know what I mean? One, two, also, I need the comfort. I've gotten some shoes. There's shoes that I got that I will not wear because they just, the hell on my pinky toe, or they too tight, you know, all of that. Like, as I'm, you know, I need support, I need comfort, I don't need to think about the sneaker, you know? And I've lived this at least twice. So I'm like, I don't want it. And I'm looking at it, and it looked like they out the box, but it was something about it looked a little dusty. Maybe that's just my mind trying to help me make the decision. Ultimately, I was like, nah, I said, I'm a chill. He's like, all right, no problem. It's all good. Don't even worry about it. Because I felt bad that I'm, you know, letting him. He's like, listen, do not worry about it. I'm sending these right back. I'm getting my bread. I ain't on the hook for nothing. You good. So I walked away. Plus, I needed brand. I had to go buy new tires. So that's what I actually not only walked out on nostalgia, but I definitely leaned into adulthood. Like, I had to go give me a whole new set of ties. I'm like, yo, come on now, dude. You wilding out. You doing this. And you, come on. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, because there's the other part of you. It's like, yo, man, nah, you work hard. Live. Go do that. You know, that whole thing. But, and it's not irresponsible, but it's just sometimes you got to say, listen, let's be practical here. You don't need to buy no too tight sneakers so they're going to just sit up in your closet. You know what I'm saying? So, anyway, yeah, I walked away in it. And then I feel like I need to tell people, you know what I'm saying? Because I was like, I got to let people know I could have had them, you know, because what happens is, and I've already seen it, you'll see people in the world because They pretty much sold out for the most part. There's a little bit of a restock, but not full sizes. But, you know, it's summertime. That's like one of the, it's top three summertime kick of all time. Top three. And it's probably not three in my mind. I had to think about it. But for sure, I'm going to see them all over this summer. And it's going to be quite a few impressions that I'm going to have to go through before I'm fully at ease with the fact that I walked away from them. You know what I mean? But, yeah, so I walked away from them joints. And it was what it was. It was, you know, sometimes it is what it is. I did it already. Like, you know, you got to remind yourself you did that already. Like, there's a lot of chasing the past, a lot of nostalgia. I want to talk about that. Y'all know where I stand on vintage clothes, right? So they had, I guess, Vintage Con this past weekend. I'm not sure if it's still going on. Then there was this like polo event that went on downtown with a bunch of old low and all of this. And again, I had to work and I was dumb tired after all that. I wasn't really trying to go to the spot. And I realized I'm totally accepting. I say totally accepted, but every so often I'll flirt with this idea that I could be a vintage person. Like I could go buy some vintage, buy some secondhand. People don't even say secondhand. But you know, go thrifting or whatever and go, you know, have the vision and resurrect these old garments and find some fly and all of that, man. The reality of it all is that does not appeal to me in the least. Like I was watching a YouTube video, this one YouTuber, she went to both joints. So it was good because I got to see what they had without really going out in the world. And it was exactly what I thought it was going to be. Bunch of old clothes on hangers that look old. To me, they look old. They don't look new. A lot of them wasn't new. They might have had a few, like, some at the Vintage Con, they might have had some old sneakers that might have been dead stock. But most of the stuff, it was old. It was thrift. It was secondhand. And, you know, people get excited because these are certain pieces or certain grails. Grails is hilarious. If Indiana Jones heard you was calling the damn polo windbreaker from 91 with a hole from where the booster popped the damn alarm a grail, you know. But anyway, to each his own. To each her own, whomever. To each they own, whatever. I was like, nah, that ain't for me. That ain't for me. Because it just looked like, especially now, you know, like I said, nostalgia could be exploited, you know. Like, it's a drug, and people will get you. Some of these people are fiending out. So I cannot see myself paying top dollar for old gear. Looking like stuff I would have thrown out. I'm cool on that. I saw one that had the pilling under the arm. I was like, come on now. What are we doing? Like, that's not me. I don't want to yuck no one's yum. You know what I'm saying? Because listen, I know it's a whole culture. I know people love it and all of that. You know what I'm saying? Especially as you get older. You know, there's a lot of that attachments, that sentimentality. It's that, damn, I wish I was there or I missed out. I always wanted this. I get a lot of that. But it don't have me like that. And I'm happy about that, to be totally honest with you, because I'm like, no, I'm cool. It makes me say, yo, take better care of the clothes you got. And not only that, but like, buy good pieces. Because some of these pieces that the people are going crazy for, I wouldn't even bought them back then. Some of them pieces is just way, 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 way too loud, you know? And then I remember cats that would play the super loud polo because it's like, yo, you know, it got low. This is what the world needs to know. But now, not at this point in life. I don't need that big, loud-ass old sweatshirt. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm cool. So, but, yo, if y'all went and copped anything, oh, congratulations. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, did your thing. Go take it to the dry cleaner. Make sure that they can get it looking as spiffy as it can. Y'all listen to Bruiser Wolf? I don't know why I'm asking you questions as though you're going to just immediately respond. But, you know, in the comments, let me know if you listen to Bruiser Wolf. I've been hearing Bruiser Wolf. I've been seeing his name and hearing his voice and flow periodically every so often. And he just, I guess, put out a project with another cat, Sheffy something or whatever. And I was like, let me go ahead and listen to it. Because he's, as my homie said, he said, I ain't trying to listen to somebody and sound like they from the 1930s. What my man say? Shout out to my homie Wes. What did he have to say? He said, I don't know. Never mind. But anyway. Yeah, Bruiser Wolf kind of reminds me a little bit of like Sugar Free meets E-40. You know, maybe meets a little Humphrey Bogart. You know what I'm saying? Like, definitely his voice is super distinct, you know? And sometimes I like that. Like, I don't know if y'all remember Snagglepuss down with the Bounce Squad, Doo-Wop Squad. Hey, Mr. Megatron. Remember him? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, cats that have those, like, weird voices. I think it was a cat named Pretty Ugly, P-U. From Philly. I think he used to rhyme a little crazy too. Like certain cats that, you know, it could wear thin after a while. But I was listening to the Bruiser Wolf project. It's fun. It's silly. He got like a lot of like couplets. You know what I'm saying? Like little slick lines and funny shit that he said. I can't even think of anything that he said off the top of the head. But you know, like just little clever little puns and slick lines. It's cool. It wasn't too bad. I was interested. Let me know if y'all fuck with him. Shout out to the lovers, you know, because it was wintertime. This was the season for the lovers for sure. And I mean, if you love indoors, your love will be good when it's warm outside too. But you know, breakup weather's around the corner. But for those that aren't strong in their union, but for those people that love out loud, or for those people that are resilient in love, those people that have loved and lost and then loved again and then lost again. And continue to love, you know, especially if you do it like in front of people, man, I take my hat off. Like the reason I'm saying this is I was looking at, you know, we just talking about Bam and his 83 and, nobody was really that excited except Asia Wilson. You know, that's Bam's girl. You know, they hugging on the court. I don't know if they kiss, but they hugging on the court. You know what I mean? And, you know, I see Clarissa Shields gets a lot of heat or a lot of ridicule for how she's open off of Papoose. I mean, even back in the day, I seen Papoose caught a little bit of, you know, ridicule for being open off of Remy, you know? But that's how it's supposed to be. That's how it's supposed to be. And it's so funny, man. Ego and love don't really mix. What Sade say? Love is stronger than pride. You know what I'm saying? But if you got too much pride, that's when you start veering into the nonchalant. And the nonchalant is really defensive, you know, because you want to love. You want to be loved. You want somebody to, you know, you want to know somebody there for you. But you don't want to play yourself, which is corny that you even thinking about playing yourself when you're supposed to be in love. Get your head back in the game. But you know what, man? Love is for the lovers. Love is strong. Love is, I don't know why I'm talking like one of these former slaves in a movie. Not a slave, but you know what I mean? But listen. I was just watching. I've been, you know, looking at the internet, and it's just so funny because the internet could be so cynical. The world could be cynical, but you know, like, especially if you're on like social media and you're just looking at like the ridicule these people get for like really loving out loud. You know what I'm saying? And it might go left. Anytime, I hate to say it, I'm cynical too, because anytime I see like a couple like go like public, like we love each other, we with each other, this is my lady, this is my man, you know, all of that, I'm like, uh-oh, here comes the countdown, they putting themselves out there, I hope they can endure, but we'll see, don't know. It's just, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. Do y'all believe in love? I'm silly, man. I don't even know what, I don't even know why I'm laughing at that, because it just sounds so, you know. But yeah, nah. Believe in love. Believe in love. I'm going to take a sip from my mason jar of water. You know what's funny? You know, your algorithm will tell you a whole lot of you about yourself, what you're looking at, what you're interested in. You know, and there's always a lot of like self-development, self-improvement, self, you know, all of that type of shit. Especially on YouTube. YouTube is probably one of my preferred platforms. I don't know if I broke down. Instagram gets me because it's in the phone, it's in my hand. YouTube, though, I probably clock more hours on YouTube than any other streaming platform. It's not even close, you know, like, you know, and I know the other platforms got like real movies and things of that nature and actual television and stuff like that, actual TV shows. And nah, sometimes I just watch an unboxing video, or I'll watch somebody go eat some jerk chicken and tell me how good it is and make me say, I need to go try that chicken. But what also makes me laugh is like, you know, the like aspirational YouTube or financial literacy YouTube or like let's get it YouTube, right? So then you'll see titles that say stuff like why truly rich people never do this. And it's like, yo, who's that really for? That's for people that ain't got no money. It's truly rich people don't need to hear about what truly rich people do. Because if you truly rich, you ain't worried about it. Yeah, you listen, you not trying to show up or cosplay as rich. If your money ain't where you think it is, you still taking notes from people that got it. Or at least these people that are reporting or people that got it. It's always funny. I'll tell you one thing that they do not buy. You know, it's silly to me. It makes me laugh. I done heard at least twice now in diss records that there's a rumor that 50 Cent got diabetes. I'm not the first person to say it's been on these discs. I've heard two diss records where somebody has said this, and I'm like, yo, that's a wild line in a diss record. Like that, but that's not even just a wild line in a diss record. That's such a it shows the age of the MCs in that are in play. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, it reminded me of the offhand. Don't one of you niggas got sickle cell or something? And like, you never really, it was kind of crazy. I was like, because honestly, a lot of these diss records, to be totally honest with you, nowadays, with so much stuff being available, with so many people oversharing, with the internet and gossip blogs, most times these diss records are just like a culmination of everything that you have just, you know, you skimmed from across the, you know, across the internet. You pull some things that you heard on Twitter. You pull some things you seen on a meme and all of that. And then you just get it to rhyme. But it's kind of regurgitated. It's not like anything that's like unknown, unfortunately, because I think, one, everybody got a take. You know what I mean? Everybody's watching. Most artists don't have any mystique anymore, so it's not like you're unearthing something that nobody knew. That's what it used to be like. Yo, word? Did you hear this? I never knew that. Now you know everything. It's just like, oh, they said that slick. But I had never heard this 50 Cent diabetes thing. This is kind of crazy. That had me like, I was like, damn. Because the reason being is because, shit, I'm pre-diabetic. I don't even like leaning into it. But yeah, man, I'm trying not to get the diabetes. You know what I'm saying? So that made me like, damn. That hit me. It made me drink some water, eat a salad. You know what I'm saying? Take a walk. You know, but yeah, that was interesting. that was interesting. I don't know if y'all heard that, if y'all caught that, if y'all was struck by that, but that caught that more than any other line. All the other lines I've heard or whatever it was, what it is, but it was like, yo, The diabetes thing, especially after I heard this for the second time, I was like, uh-oh. Who's going so? Is somebody breaking a HIPAA violation? Like, where are they getting this information? Jay-Z's going to be at the Roots Picnic this year. I think it's May 30th. It's at the Platts, a place called the Plateaus, where everybody go, you know, which is a big deal in Philly. You know, I think that's Fairmont Park, or maybe not. I don't know. Let me not talk like I know all of that. But shout out to my peoples, you know what I mean, my squad in Philly. But, so, yeah, Jay-Z going to be at the Roots Picnic. And immediately the second thought, I was like, how much is this shit going to cost? That was the first thought. I'm going to be totally honest with you. My first thought. And it's expensive. I've seen everywhere from like $900 to like $1,400. This is ridiculous. Anyway, it begs the question. Is Jay-Z gonna drop this long rumored album that he's been working on? Do you think he gonna drop an album? Do you think Hov is finally gonna drop a new album? I mean, it is 30 years since Reasonable Doubt, but like, I don't really care about the 30-year anniversary of Reasonable Doubt. I see he brought back the Umlaut. That's also what makes me think. Cause 25 years, 50 years, those, I mean, 30 years is a big thing too. 30 years is a big thing too. So you could do that, but like, and I'm a huge Jay-Z fan. It's probably my favorite rapper. But, like, at those prices, I don't need to see legacy Jay-Z. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to see some new material. And I'm curious. I saw Young Guru posted about the Roots Picnic. He's like, we back! Or something like that. And I feel like that might have been a bit of a tell because I think Young Guru been kind of trying to and almost somewhat low, like kind of spilling the beans or letting a couple beans spill here and there. You know what I mean? It would be dope. I think the last album came out in 2017. So it's damn near 10 years ago since Hov had an album. I'm curious what he's talking about. You know, the last album was probably his most vulnerable and introspective, you know? I wonder what he's going to be on, what he's going to talk about. You know, who's going to be on the album? Who's producing on the album? You know, that type of thing. What y'all think? Let me know. Let me know if you think Jay-Z's about to drop a new album or you think he's just going out there to get a summertime bag and help the Roots out, celebrate the 30th anniversary of the, the 10th anniversary. I think this is the 10th anniversary of the Roots Picnic and the 30th anniversary of Reasonable Doubt. So maybe it's just all celebratory, you know what I mean? But I don't know. Are y'all even interested in a new Jay-Z album? I am for sure. I'm ready. I'm interested to see what he would be talking about at this point in his life. You know what I'm saying? I'm curious to see how he sees the world, the game. You know what I mean? If it's going to be more along the lines of some 444, or is it going to be back to the, you know, or is it going to be just a mixture of some of the braggadocio, the swagger, and then a little bit of introspection. You know what I mean? Like back in the day when he just threw one record, you know, You Must Love Me, or, you know what I'm saying, Song Cry. You'll see where he go with it, man. Yeah, I'm excited. That would be dope. I think that's it. That's it, yo. I don't have no shows, man. A lot of people been telling me, I know I've been watching Cross, you know, season 2 of Cross, but I'm a few episodes behind. I haven't watched not one episode of Paradise. I hear people, you know, talking about it. And it's funny when I'm listening to some other podcasts talk about some of these shows. I like fast forward as though I don't want no spoilers. I never want no spoilers, but I haven't made no effort, no attempt to even watch one episode of Paradise. I'll be honest with you, it was okay. I'm happy for Sterling K. Brown, but I thought it was fine. Quietly the same for Cross. City on the Hill, iller than Cross, if you ask me. But that's, yeah. I mean, you didn't ask me, but I'm telling you. Some people have been talking about, yo, watch Mobland. You know what I mean? I know that's been off or whatever. I haven't really been inclined to. I was definitely not inclined to listen to this Jack Harlow soul album that he put out that they've been killing online, man. They've been killing this kid online. Charlie Kirk Franklin is hilarious. White Thought. You know what I mean? Because he put the little, we put that Kango on. I was like, come on, bro. The little brigade looking Kango. You know what I mean? Yeah, that looks like Cosme. That looked like you got that at Vintage Con. You know what I mean? They got conned at the con. That is crazy. I do not want to hear. Yeah, I do not want to hear this man attempt to sing. You know what I'm saying? Because he already said he coming across wispy. He already said he done got calls. People's like, yo, why you ain't really just like really sing? You know what I'm saying? So if I'm hearing that, I don't want to hear no reluctant crooning. I'm cool on that. But if you have listened to it, let me know if it's worth it or what's your jam on there. Or is there a jam on there? But anyway, man. I actually like the kid because I think he's very self-aware. But now I'm like, is he just savvy? Is this like, is this the new generation of white participants in black culture that have been schooled to the game or paid attention to the casualties of their forefathers and foremothers of where they went wrong and where they came across tone death? Because I see quite a few of these, like some of these newer white celebs, whether it's Jack Harlow, Timothy Chalamet, that kind of wade in the culture, but they do, you know, present very deferential and self-aware, and, you know, they kind of know exactly what to say. And me, I'm old, and you know what I'm saying? I'm falling for it, baby. Maybe I'm like getting caught with the jig. But I, you know, particularly with that cat, I was like, and then his, you know, his association, the Generation Now and all of that, I gave the kid the benefit of the doubt. And I think he can rap, but I do not want to hear the kid like, I'm not rushing to, you know what I'm saying, play the new Jack Harlow Neo Soul record. That shit sound crazy, dog. Imagine me doing that. Imagine Andre 3000's flute album looking at me fucking turning on the Jack Harlow Neo Soul record. Like, yo, word? That's what we doing? Oh, word. Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. Oh, okay. Yeah, man, I gotta let that one live. But if you have checked it out, and you are really on to it, you really feeling it, jump in them comments, man, and tell me what I'm missing. Tell me what I'm missing, man. Campaign for it. Don't be a bot or a publicist. Be a real fan. That is it. Listen, April 15th, Milford, Connecticut. Actually, scratch that. March 28th, New Haven, Connecticut. Read the room. I don't know where the ticket link is. I gotta find a ticket link and put it up. I'll probably put it up on my stories. But March 28th, if you're in the New Haven area, Read the Room. Shout out to my man Sean Murray, Low Brown Sean on Instagram. I'm sure he got a link to the joint. I'll be out there. But then April 15th, back up in Connecticut. Connecticut shows love historically. Shout out to CT. Connecticut shows love, and I appreciate it. I'll be at the Milford Arts Council. That sounds very highfalutin. Be at the Milford Arts Council doing a show on Wednesday, April 15th, tax day, 8 p.m. I do have the ticket link on www.damianlemon.com. I will be doing a comedy performance, so check that out. And as there's more things to come, I'll let you know. But that is what's going on as of now. And yeah, I appreciate y'all listening, lending your ear, you know what I mean? We did some minutes, you know, and you're still here at the end of it all. Thank you so much. You know, thank you for the support. You know, keep tapping in. Let's create this community. And as always, tell a friend to tell a friend. and even an enemy.
Hello.
In the conversation.
Jesus.